Welcome to the Classical Happy Hour. I'm your host, Martin Davids. This is the show where my guests and I talk about music while enjoying a tasty beverage. Then we try to play some music together. Today's guest is Sam Quiggins. How's it going, Sam?
It's going pretty well, man. How about you?
I'm having a good day, and I'm glad you could do the show.
Likewise.
So, for my listeners that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing for work these days?
I'm based in New York City. I guess my main label of work would be, you know, just a freelance cellist. So I do a lot of odd end things. I have a few things that are a little bit more consistent. I play with an orchestra in DC, the American Pops Orchestra. That's more seasonal, but it's they do a lot of PBS broadcasts and recordings. So that's a little bit more consistent. And then I also play in this folk band, which is, I guess, kind of how we met. And that's kind of been a side of my music career I didn't really expect at first, but I do a lot of stuff where I play in bands or, you know, work with bands. But my band, The Heartstrings Project, is something that's been I've been doing for better part of a decade now, and yeah, between that and those few things, it's just kind of a wide array of things. It's week to week, month to month, kind of chaos.
I hear you. Sometimes it's a day at a time, right?
Exactly.
So, tell me a little bit about like your education. Did you go to college? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I went to. I actually grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and what brought me to New York was I went to Manhattan School of Music for my undergrad, and then I just kind of stuck around there. There was a lot of opportunities to work, and I've done a few tours through the theater community there, and kind of the schooling before that, I did kind of some pre-college stuff at Vanderbilt University in Nashville. Which set me up well for that. But it kind of just ended at the undergrad level, and I've just kind of been hustling ever since.
I mean, people got to do those jobs, man. Someone's got to play those shows.
For sure.
If you're sitting there in a classroom, you can't do it.
That's for sure. No, I think at some point I would like to return in some capacity. I just haven't figured out what that looks like yet.
Cool. So, like, growing up, did you want to be a musician, or was there something else you wanted to do?
It definitely wasn't my choice to be a musician at first. My mother, I have two siblings, and basically when we all turned five, it was her dream for us to each play an instrument. And so I have an older sister that plays violin, and a younger brother that used to play cello. He kind of rebelled hard enough to get out of it, but... me and my sister stuck with it through schooling, and she still plays. She lives in Vermont.
So wait, the one that quit, is that the older brother?
He's the younger brother.
The younger brother, okay. Mm-hmm.
And he kind of pivoted. He's a country music star now in Nashville, so he just kind of left cello and decided to pick up a guitar and sing and write music, and so he's still in the music world.
So it's more a lateral move.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think at the age of five... I definitely probably wanted to do a million other things other than, you know, sit down and play cello. But I definitely became accepting of it, like, over the years, and especially as I was getting, like, more talented with it or feeling like I had more to offer to it. But yeah, it's always been an interesting kind of relationship with it, you know, I approach a lot of musicians, or have a lot of community of people who definitely started playing or got into playing because they're passionate as a kid or as an adult or at whatever level in their life. And mine definitely started off as more of like, this is what you're going to do. And just kind of accepted that until it became normal, and have grappled here and there with kind of the psychology of that. But it's really just helped me kind of... been interesting to kind of carve out what I want to do musically, I think, because it just doesn't my trajectory or what I envision as my like goals don't necessarily look similar to a lot of people I think I went to school with or that even that I played on a lot of gigs with. So it's been an interesting thing. That's always an interesting question for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same for me. Started when I was 4, and it wasn't a question of whether I was gonna play music. It was, at least I got to pick the instrument.
Yeah, there you go.
Although at the time I could only think of like 3 instruments.
Right. I mean, like, you know, how are you gonna discern what's cool at 4 years old?
Oh my God, I had no, well, the reason I picked violin is because I had a friend that played violin.
There you go.
It's like, I wanna do it like him.
Oh my gosh. Well, and your parents were probably like, thank goodness, not the drums or, you know.
That's funny because I could only think of 3 instruments, the violin, the piano, which my mom played, you know, and so did my older brother. And the drums was the 3rd one. I was like, nah.
Oh, man. I think I would be a drummer in another lifetime for sure.
Really?
Yeah, there's a drummer in me somewhere.
Well, the cello, you know, especially for like any kind of rock type stuff, it's you can get pretty percussive and...
For sure.
Unpitched, almost.
Right? I'm definitely interested in, you know, like chopping techniques and kind of the fiddling stuff of that, where it gets really percussive.
Well, you're from Nashville, right?
Yeah, I know. It kind of goes hand in hand, I guess.
So, like, your brother's a country music star. Does he hook you up with some gigs?
He hasn't yet. You know, I'm waiting for the call, but
There's got to be at least one song that needs a little cello.
You would think, you know, but there's
it's kind of tearjerker.
Yeah, for sure. There's got to be the ballad somewhere on there.
Seriously.
Yeah, and he's still got some cello chops too. So I'm hoping for a cello duo on a song, maybe. You know, we'll see.
But don't. No, he's not as good. So I think you need to play it.
Just hold it down.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let him know that.
I'm sure he's going to listen. We'll send him the link.
Okay, for sure.
Cool. So, like, what kind of music most attracted you? Once you started, got good enough to, like, care?
That was the interesting part. I think when I hit college, I was definitely... searching for things that made me feel passionate, you know, playing. And it, of course, there's obviously like the road of like doing more virtuosic things to enhance your technique and to, you know, educate yourself in that way. And I was definitely interested in that route. But I started, there's a random gig I played at this band called Young the Giant. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're just kind of a California like indie rock band. And I remember playing with them, and it, you know, it was like footballs. You know, there's like I played 3 notes on one of the songs, and I remember just being so invigorated by it, and it was confusing to me, you know, because simultaneously I'm sitting there, you know, racking my brain for hours on a popper etude or, you know, something like that, and here I was like feeling really inspired to play these 3 whole notes in this song, and it just kind of dawned on me that I think I was more connecting to music that I didn't really expect to be. Like, part of the thing of, I think, not choosing to walk into, like picking up a classical instrument is I didn't often find myself listening to classical music in my leisure time. You know, I was listening to a lot of very eclectic things. It's a kind of chaotic, you know, array of things I would listen to. But I always found that interesting, and I think that kind of the things I've carved out or trying to carve out or, you know, fall in the cracks of in the industry is finding really a feeling for things. It's kind of hard to, on paper, to be like, oh, that's going to be cool to do. But like in the moment, I can really connect to some people. It's usually the energy of people, like people who are passionate about what they do and put a lot of like genuine care and intention behind the things they do. I tend to gravitate towards that, and that can be in the classical realm, or it can be in a realm where, you know, I play one note in a song, but I just, for some reason, it really pushes me, it really gets me going to be amongst a group that's just so heavily involved in like the creative process of what they're presenting to people. So it just, it feels much more ingrained into them as people as well, and synchronous to the whole human being rather than just like a, you know, a composition and a performer. I don't know if any of this is making sense. I'm kind of rambling about it, but it's,
It's hard to feel connected to some music that, you know, like somebody that's dead wrote.
For sure.
That doesn't automatically connect to you, you know?
No, but I still do definitely, like, no knock on that either. It's just that I think the interesting nuance is, you know, I've always thought that it would take, at the level of playing that I've worked to achieve, that it would somehow take a really high challenge to keep me motivated or passionate. And it's interesting to me that it's not necessarily my own role in the performance. I really gravitate towards like a wholeness of performance, and you know, whether that features me or that has me back in the corner not needed, like there's just something about it that I gravitate towards.
That's cool. Yeah, and I've never found that just making music complicated makes it better or right. more moving, right?
For sure.
Like some of the most moving things are just like a simple song, even without an accompaniment, you know.
For sure.
Somebody singing something that's meaningful can be super moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's not as earth shattering as I choose to believe it to be sometimes. But no, for sure. It's hard to put into words too. But I definitely, as much as I might have struggled with it at times, I think I also pride myself on the fact that I'm like genuinely searching for kind of a individual, unique relationship with the music I present. And anytime I get into a dark place about it, it's because I'm thinking about what I should be doing with my talents, or what it looks like to be a cellist in this day and age, or, you know, what it means to be successful or stable, or so I'm thankful that I'm hard-headed about trying to go down whatever this unknown path is, but, you know, towards kind of this more personal, meaningful connection to it.
Well, there's, I feel like you're not going to burn out either if you do that.
I hope not. I hope not.
I mean, if you're doing stuff that you love to do with people that you like, why would you get tired of it?
Mm-hmm. I hear that. Yeah.
The people I know that are burned out are just, you know, like sitting in a section.
For sure. When I think it, oftentimes with not just the arts or what we do, but it's so easy to get into the flow of, again, like doing what's expected of you, or, you know, checking out this is what you do now that you are out of school, or now that you have, you know, you have to check off the criteria of what it means, you know, there's these set things that you can do. And I think we often box ourselves into the possibilities, you know, and opportunities that we think we're supposed to do, but not necessarily, you know, there's so much more pivoting out there, I think, than a lot of people realize.
And sometimes like the job with the prestigious organization is like the least fun thing that you're doing that month, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And you can be just wondering, why is that?
Yeah.
Like, this could have been so great, and what sucked the air out of it?
Yeah, no, I definitely go through those motions a lot. I think what helps me balance kind of those things is having these also projects where, you know, it's like my own passion thing, or it's not necessarily prestigious or, you know, that prominent of a thing, but it makes me feel passionate. And so if I can balance, you know, the kind of work play relationship of that was a great opportunity, and it, you know, maybe it didn't live up to expectation, but it also funds, or
yeah,
it's investing into time.
The paycheck was great.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So who really cares?
Yeah. It's keeping me afloat.
Yeah, you be a mercenary once in a while.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you play any other instruments?
You know, not very well, but I definitely do try. I sing a little bit in the band, which is not necessarily playing an instrument, but I definitely try to do that. I took piano for 10 years, and it's embarrassing the amount of skill I have at that instrument. But I can play a little piano, and I can play very basic guitar, but nothing close to the level I play cello at, which is probably a given, I guess.
But yeah, it's impressive when people can just pull up, grab various instruments, and they're like totally comfortable on them.
They like unlock the puzzle of playing the instrument in front of your eyes. It's wild to me.
But, I mean, it's got to take some desire.
For sure. I think it's an interesting thing in hindsight, you know, choosing to play the cello, or not really choosing, but giving the cello to play. And I've always wondered what instrument I would go towards. I always come back to the drums for sure, but I don't know, there's passion in there to learn a few other things, I think. I'm hoping with this band and some other things I do, it kind of asks me to stretch me to my limits a little bit in terms of trying to be a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, I don't know. I dabbled in the erhu.
Nice. Great choice.
And then, you know, the big change for me was going from violin to baroque violin.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty drastic, and it just completely altered the way I play on any violin. But I mean, yeah, you could always go to the dark side.
That's true. I can come join you in the baroque world, baby. Absolutely.
So, like, if you didn't do music for your job, what would you want to do?
I would love to be a pro basketball player. You know, I think that really? At the age of 5, everybody knew that was not going to happen. No, I definitely had those dreams as a kid, however practical they might have been. I think, I'm not sure exactly. Both of my parents were teachers at times. And I definitely, as glamorous as teaching is, like I think I would have enjoyed being a teacher. I really like interacting with kids, and I have such a soft spot for kids and like the development of kids, especially in something like the arts or theater or something that kind of helps them stay being a kid a little bit more. But I think I definitely would have gone down that route had I not, like, pure teacher, whether that. And I still do some teaching, like, is in terms of, you know, teaching cello lessons and whatnot. But I think I would have gone more school teacher route, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Their loss.
Thanks, man.
So, tell me, like, what you love about being a musician.
Oh, we talk about this all the time. Being a musician, I think the biggest draw for me is the community of people I come into engagement with. I think being an artist in general, but specifically being a musician, there's such a collaborative energy that's required of strangers at times. And that can end up with all sorts of chaotic kind of energies in a room together, but I find it kind of beautiful that so many different characters and individuals can like come together, you know, whether it's a 100-piece choir or just 4 individuals or a duo, to, you know, for lack of a less corny term, you know, a language of music, a universal language of kind of, you know, being able to build connection in that way. Something about the community building aspect of it, I think, is my favorite part of being a musician. And because I especially think as I get older and as these past few years have transpired, it seems like it's kind of harder to make genuine connections with people in a lot of spaces. And I'm thankful that music kind of helps to nurture more genuine connection, I think, between people. And if anything, just forces us to be in the same room working on something, a unified goal, regardless of how different or alike we are.
And it's really hard to hide who you are when you pick up an instrument or sing.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, it's like when people have auditions, pretty much in the first couple seconds, you can tell.
You can feel
it
out.
Yeah, a lot about a person. So, but I mean, that's not the same as like playing together, mm-hmm. which is much more fun than that sort of almost adversarial.
Yeah, for sure.
But as soon as, you know, you hear somebody play, you're either like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun, or you're like a little scared.
You're not wrong. It's totally the thing. You can really get so much from the first impression of it. But yeah, I think like even extending beyond that, I'm thankful that the community people I often engage with too, I think the artist community or musician community are some of the more mindful people in the world, if not the most mindful people. I think a lot of what we engage with is much more mindful than the, you know, like typically what exists outside the artist community, which I think is kind of a beautiful thing and also like weirdly a responsibility for an artist to be kind of tapped into those spaces in the world or those energies in the world. And it's just refreshing to know that I take it for granted sometimes when, you know, it kind of seep outside or I'm separate from the arts or from my instrument or from musicians. It's just something that I realize isn't, I take for granted often. And it's just that I think for the most part, artist communities, musician communities are just much more deeply thinking people. And it's a treat to be surrounded by people who think that way.
Yeah, I don't run into too many people on gigs that have like a wall up, you know. I mean, occasionally.
For sure.
But usually they're pretty much there.
I have a much easier time talking to a musician than, you know, somebody random that I meet at a bar, for sure. Or if it's somebody random and they're like, "Oh, I play such and so," I'm like, "Easy. I know you're cool now."
So you said you're doing a little bit of teaching, mm-hmm. like just like a private lesson kind of stuff?
Yeah, I just have two kids right now in the city, and it's kind of fluctuated here and there. The current one, I'm just filling in for a friend. She's on a tour, and so I'm just kind of taking over a couple of her students for her. But I've definitely done it off and on. It's been hard in recent years, just kind of with my performance, like my gig schedule will make it complicated to kind of carve out the time. And I personally find that for me, it's important that if I am choosing to be a teacher, that I carve out significant time or focus towards that. I don't like to, and there are some who do this beautifully, but I'm not good at multitasking in that way, or like my schedule is so chaotic sometimes week to week that it makes me feel bad to kind of not be able to give consistency or offer consistency to a student. So I've over years have kind of shied away as I've picked up more and more performance opportunities, have shied away from taking on too much teaching. But I would definitely naturally welcome that. If that started slowing down, I would definitely fill that in with more teaching opportunities, I think.
Yeah, it's really tough, especially if you do any traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want a weekly lesson, I mean, that's really...
For sure.
The only people I teach these days are like the occasional grad student that wants to come over to Borough Pylon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they never come every week.
Right.
You just gotta charge more and then they won't show up as often.
There you go, just get the one. Okay, that's a good tip, actually. Cheers to that. I've never thought of it that way before.
I don't know if that's good advice or not.
You know, that might be my last lesson I ever get.
Speaking of advice, like, do you have any advice for people coming up in music?
I would say just, if you love to do it, without going into any depth of it. There are so many stages of being a musician where you go through school or you don't go through school. And, you know, you can call it adversity, I guess, but there's just going to be a lot of times where it really feels, you can get the passion taken away from you. And it's a really easy thing to happen, you know, where you really get bogged down and focused on what you're doing. Something can really diminish the kind of spark that got you to love what you're doing in the first place. And so my advice for most people is, as you're continuing to further along in whatever career it is, I think a core to hold on to is to make sure you're still enjoying what you're doing. And if not, do something different, whether it's within music or outside of music. But just, it's not worth the turmoil to do this if you don't like it. If you don't like it, you know, you have to. It's important for me personally to really love what I'm doing. Otherwise, it just, I know I'm kind of stating the obvious here, but, you know, it feels wrong otherwise, especially in the arts. You know, this is not I didn't come here to make it rich. You know, my chances of that are like winning the lottery and stuff. So it's like, you really have to do this for the love of it, I feel like. Not to say that you can't make it rich or anything from playing music, you know, that's totally a thing, but.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks, dude. I'll let you know how that goes.
Okay, yeah. So, if you don't love it, I mean, there are so many things, especially in America, so many jobs you can do, so many ways to help other people. If you're hating yourself doing music, don't do it. But, you know, a lot of us, I think, are kind of, see it almost as a calling.
I think so too.
Like, we don't know how we could possibly stop.
And I feel that too. I think the nuance of the, you know, my personal journey with music, many different moments from the inception of being told I was going to play the cello, has been about if I'm enjoying this. And there's been, especially in school, I had a hard time getting back to the love of what I was doing. I, you know, there was a moment where I didn't think I wanted to do this anymore. And I came back to that kind of calling idea of, like, I don't think I would be happy doing anything else. You know, I would be very unhappy not doing this. And I think it's hard sometimes, especially when you're working really hard and you have other people who are there to help you and to give opinions and advice, and, you know, whether it's teachers or whoever, it can get hard sometimes to hold on to the love of what you're doing, to the having fun part. And it's usually things like this, of like being able to hang with your friends or play music with your friends. Like, those are the things that kind of sparked the love for me, was kind of be able to engage in that way with music. And it can oftentimes just get into the throes of things you don't necessarily enjoy. So I really, prioritizing the things that make you love music and making sure you carve out space for that is vitally important, I think.
Yeah, if you're trying to show people the joy that you feel when you play music, you're not thinking about all those hours in the practice room, because that was not the joyous part.
No. Oh my gosh. Well, and, you know, even coming full circle to the, like, talking about the prominent gigs and, you know, the huge moments, I oftentimes don't even talk about that to people. I'm like, oh man, you know, I did this, all these cool things, but then I got to hang with my buddy Marty, and, you know, we played some music and, you know, had a drink, and like, those things kind of stick with me more, because I just think it's more genuine to, like, the pure love of what we do. Rather than, you know, factoring the fact, well, I need to make a living, I need to, you know, I need these opportunities to further myself in this way or that way. It's just refreshing to be able to balance that with moments of, like, this is pure, I just love being able to hang and do stuff like this.
Awesome, man. So glad we're doing it. Before we wrap it up, is there anything you want to ask me?
Sure. You said you started when you were 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What, you were mentioning too for yourself that it wasn't necessarily like you at least got to pick an instrument, but it was kind of something that was it your parents kind of made you stick with?
Just living in that house, so you had to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there is a specific moment where it kind of the pendulum shifted and it really became you just kind of taking off with it, or was it just kind of a push that eventually got you somewhere where you're?
I think it was gradual. Like, I think when I was a teenager, I started getting good. Mm-hmm. And then that gave me some confidence. And then, I don't know, I remember like just playing in a coffee shop one time and just getting some good tips.
Mm-hmm.
Like one guy just slipped me a 20. And I was like, okay, this isn't so bad.
Nice. My gosh. Man, 20 at the coffee shop.
Yeah, like one song, he just hands me a 20. I was like, okay.
That's nice.
I'm going to try harder.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's hard to say. I think it was a gradual thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't, like, wasn't an artist as a kid. You know, I was like, I kind of hated it and fought against it and, like, lied about practicing and
mm-hmm. Same. Yeah, no, I relate to that.
Had to get bribed.
Oh my gosh. My little brother, I remember, used to have a little jar next to him and my mom when they're practicing together, and if he didn't talk back, he would get a quarter. And of course that was wild to me, because if I talked back, I would get in so much trouble. Like, there's no quarter reward, but there's just no other way to tame him other than to bribe him to stay quiet while they practiced.
So, well, now he's a country music star.
I know. He figured it out early. He was hustling, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he's making money while he was practicing cello, so.
He was trying to teach you in that moment.
I think so.
All right, we're going to take a little break here, and thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show and listen to all the other episodes. Give us lots of stars and keep streaming my latest album, Baroque and Alone. And where can we hear Heartstrings Project coming up here?
We're currently going on tour, which we'll be on for the next month, but you can find our music on Spotify and Apple Music as well. And then, yeah, that's basically the place to go. We have more stuff coming this year, but I have no exact dates yet for any of that.
Yeah, I was listening to your album this week. Sounds good. I like it. And yeah, keep streaming. Okay, we'll be right back and we'll play something.